Hi, I'm Archit.
And I'm Shirin.
And welcome to Getting Lost with Archit and Shirin, a podcast where two amateur cooks,
if you say so,
talk about all things food, from ingredients, recipes, techniques, and lessons from our trials in the kitchen. Every episode, Shirin, our producer Natasha, and I will do a deep dive into one singular topic and talk about literally everything we know.
All right, Archit, what are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about all things Diwali.
All things Diwali.
All things Diwali.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of things.
Okay, some things Diwali.
Okay, great. To be specific, everyone, we're going to be talking about Diwali Mithai. And it's sort of going to be an idiot's guide to making impressive Mithai at home on Diwali. And gaining brownie points with your family.
Awesome. Let's get started.
So Archit, tell me how Diwali works for you and what makes it special? Why do you love Diwali? Do you love Diwali?
Yeah, I mean, I love Diwali. Diwali is my favorite festival. And I think it's really just like a special moment because everyone from all parts of the world tend to come home. And it's always like a very family forward function. Unlike any other like time, other than like a big baniya wedding, most of the times like this is Diwali is the only time we get to see everyone.
That's actually a good insight. That's a really good insight because I don't think I can think of any single festival in the year where I actually just for sure every single year spend it with my family. Okay, that sentence was grammatically totally incorrect, but I think the feeling comes through.
Yes, absolutely. It's okay. Grammar sometimes does not help, but the feeling was right. Definitely like that's like my big thing. And like, I also love it, especially now, because when I was in college, I didn't get to spend that Diwali time at home.
Aww.
For 4 years.
And your parents had a really great time without you though.
No, they had the best parties. Like when I was gone, they had the best parties. It's like really sad. And like, I remember like we used to have exams during Diwali time. So I used to hate it even more. So now I actually genuinely love Diwali. And I mean, 2020 is just a sad time. But until last year, like Diwali was like the best.
Yeah.
So what about you, Shirin?
Well, you know this, but like I'm obsessed with Diwali. It matters so much to me.
Yeah.
Diwali for me starts 1 month before the festival with 100 card parties, two a night. I'm used to my colleagues asking me how I'm surviving on 3 hours of sleep for like such an extended period of time. It's fantastic. So I get my share of chilling with friends and like my father's friends and cousins and whomever before Diwali, and the day of Diwali is actually very quiet for me because I'm mostly home. We do a small puja and then we just drink. So
that sounds right.
Yeah. And I love throwing Diwali parties. I threw my last Diwali party 2 years back, and last year you threw yours. So I feel like it's almost like a rite of passage of growing up, the changes you see in the way you host on Diwali.
Shirin, do you remember you made Excel sheets for outfits before Diwali season?
It was also wedding season.
Wedding season, yeah,
yes.
True.
Yes, I had to attend some 27 functions in 35 days. But to be fair, my Excel sheet, or the tricks, as I like to call it now, came in handy. It has helped me take stock of all the outfits that I have, what works with what, and, you know, I was organized. I was really organized throughout, and I never had to think twice about anything. So, boo. Yeah. This is a podcast about food. So, hey, Archit, why don't you tell me what kind of binge eating you get down to around Diwali? Because for me, my calories come from alcohol and chocolate kaju katli. What about you?
Mine for the longest time was like around my dadi's food. So my dadi used to come from Saharanpur every Diwali time, and we used to have besan ka laddu and meethe shakar pare, and we used to have like chaat. We'd also like have like samosas, and everything was like homemade. So like it was just like a lot of food, and like I remember I've had more samosas just par cooked, like, you know, she used to just make them, like she used to fry them once on a low heat and then keep them in the fridge earlier and then like before Diwali, and then fry them fresh for Diwali. Yeah. And I used to just eat them like kacha, like that.
Sounds
and
about right. Like, I can see little Archit with his katora cut going.
I never had katora cut, first of all.
Okay,
but,
I will. I guess I just have to come over and take a few more pictures of all those beautiful portraits hanging by your staircase.
I have more of a katora cut now than ever before. But yeah.
Well, it's a good thing you have a girlfriend who loves you, because...
Debatable.
Diwali is one of the few festivals where I don't do anything. Like, I don't cook. I don't say that, hey, I'm going to bake like a beautiful cake. I don't say, hey, I'm going to make a signature dish or anything of the sort. So this year, I plan to be better. And I plan to make something for Diwali. And everyone's really excited about it, because I guess novelty... They won't be so excited next year. But are you Diwali Halwai or?
I have been. Like, last year I made a lot of stuff for Diwali, just because like my grandmother wasn't there. I really like doing up the house with my mom and everything. So like, we do like a rangoli and things like that. And by that I mean like, I would like stand there, get her the stuff, and then she would actually do the rangoli.
Yeah.
But and then once she did all the outlines, I can like fill it up with flowers and all, like actually like a coloring book. Like, that's how we like
function. That's kind of cute though. And also you've really come a long way in terms of aesthetic sense. So you are a Diwali Halwai as of last year, basically.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this year also, we're doing brownies again this weekend. So now we've like elevated our like mithai game from like desi mithai to brownies. And we're making brownies for like the whole gamut of people we know.
Yeah.
So please expect some brownies, Shirin.
I'm at my parents' place, in case you're wondering where to send them.
Oh, don't worry. We know how to get to a
Thanks. We're going to have to beep out my location. But a shameless call out here. Your little boxes of happiness full of brownies. They're doing so well. I'm so proud. They look beautiful. I love the way they're put together. I really like the idea of gifting something homemade on Diwali, because in general, like, Diwali has become so commercial.
Absolutely.
The Diwali gifts one receives are usually just passed on to someone else. And I don't think, and this is how I measure a good gift. I don't think anyone's ever going to re-gift your brownies to anyone else. They're going to eat
them. That's true. That's a great like way of thinking about what a good gift is, right? Like, if you can re-gift it, then it's not a good gift.
I have not re-gifted the Diwali gift you gave me last year, by the way.
Yeah, please don't.
Use it every day. But moving on to a little bit, you know, that we can learn from your experience last year as the resident
Halwai.
Tell us a bit about your Shakarpare. Tell us a bit about the laddus that Amma taught you how to make. Tell me all of that good stuff, and let all the secrets out, because let's face it, you're not selling laddus, you're selling brownies. You can keep your brownie secrets, but give us the laddu secrets.
So, you know, both Shakarpare and laddus are actually not that hard. Like, they're just like, whenever you think of like Indian mithais, they always look a lot more scary than they actually are to make.
Agree.
Like laddus in general are just like caramelized atta and maida. Put together, depending on what kind of laddu you make. Or like, we make besan ka laddu, which is chickpea flour. So we just do chickpea and ghee and sugar, and then you're just like just cooking it off.
Do you put gond in your
We put gond, but now I don't remember exactly how the gond had, but it's on my blog, I know that. But the gond is not the most important thing for us. We don't particularly enjoy it, but I love like that sandy texture that like besan laddus get. And it's actually not that hard to make. But it's a lot of cooking. Like, it's a lot of just like manual labor. And whenever I cook like Indian mithais, I'm always thinking, how can I make this better or like more in sync with like a Western tradition of either baking or like caramelizing.
But can you though? Because like the whole, you know, bhunoing, if I'm saying it right, of suji or a besan or something, it is a labor intensive process, but it's also critical towards success, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, I would say that, I would argue that maybe you can pop your besan into the oven on a sheet, But then you're just burning it because you're not moving it around. So
yeah, I mean, I think another way to do it is probably like keep the oven at a very low heat and then just like bhuno the besan, not like as a full laddu, but just the besan. But yeah, I mean, honestly, if like...
Try that. Huh. Let us know how that goes, but I'm going to do it in a kadhai only.
Kadhai is the best and like where it does give you lots of feel. Like, yeah.
Tell me one thing, Archit, like from everything that you've learned in terms of making Indian food at home and particularly mithais, would you have a few suggestions for people? Like for example, my only advice to anyone would be to make sure that you roast your besan or your suji properly and you do it right. Do you have any hacks, particularly on the chini front? Because, you know, when we talk about baking, we often talk about how the size of the granules makes a huge difference. So do you have any insight into that?
So for laddus, you actually use like proper shakkar, so like crystalline sugar, only because you're actually going to be cooking it off for a very long time. And in terms of like suggestions, two things that come to mind are one, the kadhai that you use needs to be like very heavy bottomed and needs to have like a round bottom at the bottom because you need that motion to kind of keep on churning the besan. And then the second thing that is really necessary is that everything needs to be done on low heat, whereas whenever you see things being made in a store, they're always done in high heat, but that's because they have a better idea of heat modulation, whereas ghar ka saman, you tend to not know how much heat is needed. So I always just cook on very low heat.
Cooking is always better, and honestly at this point in time, if you're in North India, the weather is a bit cooler. So you can stand in the kitchen without, you know, risking sweat going into your food.
Yeah.
Gross. But yeah, I meant it. Okay, that's super useful.
So Shirin, tell me about this like one recipe that, you know, you've been like really raving and like loving and talking about, and like you're saying that I will share it with everyone.
I haven't been raving about it.
You've been raving about it. Like, I mean, for the last week, we've been like, mithai. I was like, acha, this one needs to like, come out.
I'm feeling a bit targeted right now. It's been a suji ka halwa. And I am actually really, really surprised at how well it always turns out. And the story to share here is that I refuse to listen to anyone at home when they said that here's how you should make your suji ka halwa, because I was like, I will make it my own, which is why I went to the wonderful people of the internet and I said, Ki, now you tell me how to make it, because I'm too like stuck up to listen to anyone at home. And most recipes for suji ka halwa were like, you need to put equal parts of ghee and you need to put equal parts of suji and equal parts of sugar.
Yeah, that's
I did that.
All of them say that.
I did that and it was not okay. Just not okay. So that's my big learning. When you are making your suji ka halwa, you can don't over index on the ghee, because this is probably something you're making for home. That's one. The second is that similar to when you are trying to make a pan sauce, use boiling water. Use really hot water when you're adding to your suji. So one hack is that your chini or your sugar or shakkar, whatever it is that you're using, try to just boil it with the water on the side while you are bhunoing your suji. Because while your suji becomes golden brown with the ghee, and you can put ghee in phases as well, just so you're not, you know, completely going off track, you can bring some water to a boil and let the chini melt in it, because then even if you're making your halwa for the first time, you won't have those little bites of sugar in your halwa, which can be really nice in a laddu because you're biting into it.
Right.
But with the halwa, you're like, okay, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. So you're saying that you should just make a syrup out of it. Like a
make a simple syrup, literally. And just start pouring it in once you're ready. And of course, if you're one of those people who was given halwa when they were sick as a soupy thingy, that's a little kaccha. So just remember that. So if you're trying to impress your better half or whatever, like people who love you. When they're sick with seasonal cold, hopefully just that. Maybe you can make that. I don't know. It could be a nice, comforting little broth.
I've never had this like soup, halwa soup. What is this new halwa soup that you're thinking? It's like talking about.
So it's. I don't think it's called halwa soup. And our grandmas are probably just like rolling their eyes at us right now as we speak. It's basically your typical suji ka halwa or any halwa, but not thick and fluffy. Or not light and fluffy. Okay. It's more like watery but thick. So it's like a rich soup and it's really hot. So it goes down your throat like soup, basically. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe it. Super thick milkshake, but hot.
Super thick milkshake, but hot. Lovely.
Soup or a thick milkshake, but hot. So just for context, guys, I have a bit of a cold. Harking back to Phoebe from Friends, it's not necessarily the worst thing.
Okay, so now I have the second question, which is, what are your thoughts on dry fruits? Like, what dry fruits are allowed in your halwa and what aren't?
Excellent question. I think let's take a moment to acknowledge this very important question because not enough people ask.
And I know which ones trigger you, so please share.
Okay. So unlike Achit, who doesn't like raisins.
What? I love raisins.
You don't like them in cake.
I love them anywhere and everywhere. Like I eat raisins raw.
So I don't know my friends as well as I thought I did. But okay, unlike some people, I think Natasha doesn't like raisins.
Natasha doesn't like raisins.
That's it. Okay. So I was not fully wrong.
Okay. No, you were, but okay.
I also wasn't there. Yeah. I love raisins. I love badam in my halwa. But with badam, I always like prefer that it is toasted a little and it's like, you know, properly done. It shouldn't be kacha and it shouldn't be cold. What I don't like much is big pieces of kaju. Not a fan. Elaichi. Although not a dry fruit, is the villain of my life. And it's one of those things that I don't like. And I started disliking because my sister doesn't like it. So when we were younger, the only way for me to like impress her, I suppose, was to just parrot off everything that she said. So if she said, I don't want elaichi in my halwa, I would be like, yeah, me neither. So, some sort of social conditioning. And now I can't stand elaichi. And I also cannot stand khoya. Also, thanks to my sister.
Khoya is condensed milk. You don't like condensed milk also?
I like the milkmaid wala condensed milk. I don't like khoya on top. And that's another reason for not liking khoya is once I thought that there is some cheese in the freezer and I put... I grated it and it turned out to be khoya on my toast and it was not a great experience. So I don't know why we're digging into my childhood traumas, but those are the several things that haunt me. Okay, Achit, it's your turn to share an idiot-proof Diwali recipe, preferably sweet and very, very idiot-proof, like I said before, because my halwa, no one can F up. So...
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're thinking idiot-proof, you're thinking Diwali mithai, your best friend is condensed milk. Like a tin of condensed milk is actually just wonderful because it's basically liquefied khoya. The thing that Shirin hates and has a love-hate relationship with is actually really, really wonderful. One of the things that you know we tried for the blog as well is to make some coconut truffles. But we actually at home just make barfi, which is at home we make it as chocolate barfi, which is actually really, really common, turns out. But for me, it was always this like really special thing that my grandparents made, my grandmother made, that my bua made, as well as like my mom makes. I specifically remember like every year that I used to go back to college, my bua used to send me like a box of like chocolate barfi with me just because... She'd be like, keep it. And then like, you know, maybe when during Diwali time, you can have it. So it was really, really sweet. And what essentially it is basically desiccated and fresh coconut. It's a mix of both. But if you don't find fresh coconut, you can just use desiccated coconut and toast, about a cup of it on a pan. Then after that, you just add the same volume, so a cup's worth of condensed milk into the pan as well, and slowly simmer and cook it off. And in this, you can add some cocoa powder. So that's the chocolate part of it.
Nice.
If you want to add like, you know, just like melt some chocolate, you can do that. Just melt it separately in a microwave or a double boiler and then add it. Because if you add it just like that, and I've tried this, it really just gets effed up. So don't
worry. No, tell me one thing about this chocolate. I have a question. When do you add it, and do you add it hot?
You add it hot, but what happens with chocolate is that because you're already started cooking the process, like the coconut's already done, the condensed milk doesn't really need too much heating. If you add the chocolate, then what will happen is that the coconut will overcook. Mm. So just add like melted chocolate into it. It doesn't matter if it's hot or not, but melted enough so it'll have temperature. And then all of that mixture, just mix it really well, 2 minutes max, and then just pour it onto a well-greased plate, anything like steel plate, nothing fancy, but grease it with some oil or whatever so that it doesn't stick completely, and then keep it in the fridge for about 30 minutes.
That's
so
it?
What? Huh?
30 minutes?
30 minutes, that's it.
Okay.
So what will happen in those 30 minutes is that the condensed milk will get hardened. So once it gets hardened, you can then, what we usually do is that we just like, when we pour it in all across like the plate. So it becomes like a nice circular disc.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take like a knife and we make like diagonals across the whole like plate on both sides. So from one side and then the other side. So it makes like these tiny kites.
Yeah,
and
cute.
And then we just take those tiny kites and eat them. But we usually, my bua at least plates them with some walnut, not for me, but for everyone else, and with some silver foil, which is really, really cute. But honestly, like I would eat it without it as well. It's just so, so good. And it's like a bounty bar.
Yum.
But yummier, and good you get so much it. More of it.
That's a really good way to sell it.
I know.
I have two questions.
Yes.
First, you make your kites after the barfi has set, right? You don't have it pehle because it won't cut. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be idiot-proof, so yeah. Okay. And second is, do you know how to use silver foil? Because I feel like a lot of us will end up making something and then be like, oh, it looks normal. Let me make it look glam. And silver foil can be a really good way to make things look fancier than they really are. Because what if your dish is like really humble and you want to impress your girlfriend's parents?
Yeah, so silver foil is very easy to use. It usually comes in like a large foil, usually a square of some sort. And then it's usually laminated. So it's between two sheets of like butter paper. So you can basically, like if I was to use it for the barfi, I would actually cut it to the size of the barfi and then cut it down a little bit more, then remove the one side of the butter paper and then just place the other side down. Mm-hmm. So it's like you know those children's tattoos used to get when like you used to get like boomer and everything. So it's basically that format. But if you do mess it up, then you can use either a tweezer or a fork and like place it more finely. I mean, a lot of these like, you know, master chefs and all, and Natasha loves these shows. They always like do like with like tweezers, they like play around with it here and there, but like you don't need to do that.
Okay. All right. I hope I don't need tweezers in the kitchen anytime soon, but I'm interested in this silver foil hack because I think I'm going to dress my halwa up a little this time with a little bit of saffron, a little bit of nuts and some silver foil. Could be fun. Okay, Ajit, I want to introduce a new segment to the podcast because I often learn something new from you, and I like to believe that you always learn something new from me.
Always.
So this section is called Today I Learned, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds to talk about a couple of things that you learned today that you weren't aware of before this.
Okay, cool. So three things that I learned today. One, Shirin hates cardamom with a angry hate. Two, there is something called halwa, and then there is something called shira, which was really, really fascinating. And three, I really miss Diwali and I wish we were all together.
Oh, yeah, I miss Diwali too. I do. And it doesn't feel like Diwali this year, but here's to trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I learned a lot from you today, by the way. I learned about silver foil. And I think this whole cutting your foil before putting it on the barfi sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
I learned about how you can make very desi truffles using condensed milk. And I think that's pretty cool. Because I genuinely feel like the halwa you can still, and I take my words back, the halwa you can still mess up. These coconut barfis you cannot mess
up. You really can't. Yeah, they're just so foolproof.
Yeah, they are. And thirdly, I learned that you're sending me brownies for Diwali without any elaichi, hopefully. So I'm really excited about that.
We'll send you some like experimental ones, you know, like
do one with Sichuan
peppercorn, one with elaichi. You know?
But also, Archit, I like the center pieces, not the crust, not the edges. So please make
okay. Sure. That was the learning for this week. You're the first person. How do you not like the corners?
I just like fudge, in general.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and I'm a soft-hearted person who likes the softer part of the dessert.
Okay, we'll keep you in mind. Like literally, we've been cutting them and we had to use so much maths just to like make sure that we get more corner pieces from each batch that we make. And now, the only person who's ever given us a critique out of all the boxes we made is that there are too many corner pieces.
There were too many corner pieces. And I can't believe that was on
purpose. Purposefully gave you more corner pieces.
Trying to be nice to us by giving us corner pieces.
Yeah, because corner pieces are best.
I mean, there needs to be a balance and I think you can work on it.
Thank you. We'll keep this in mind.
All right. Thanks so much for your time. And thanks everyone for listening. We really hope that we've been able to help you come up with a few simple ways to actually jazz Diwali up this year for your family. And especially if you're stuck alone, one of these two recipes could hopefully help you feel a little more like it's Diwali. And a little bit of festive cheer.
Happy Diwali, everyone.
Happy Diwali. We've received so many questions on the simplest way to start a podcast that we just went ahead and spoke to the experts for advice.
Ha, guys, she doesn't mean me. We spoke to the good folks at Hubhopper, India's leading podcast creation platform.
Turns out, they have free solutions for content creators on studio.hubhopper.com. That is studio.hubhopper.com. Do check them out, as you can easily create and launch a podcast for free and get your podcast to the right places like Spotify, Gaana, Google Podcasts, and so many more.
If you do start a podcast, please DM us the link on Instagram @@ArchitLost. We'd love to hear it.
Happy podcasting!
This episode of Getting Lost with Archit and Shirin was produced by Natasha Rati Kapoor, edited by Ananya Gupta, and written and conceptualized by Shirin Rai Gupta and Archit Agarwal.